Sorry, I'll be with... We're on. Let me just... Oops. Hang on. Let me just do this. You're going to have to give me 3 minutes because we're at the part of that service where it's a rehydration break. So, let me just get myself organised. Now, good morning. VAR. Yeah. Again, the verse is Proverbs 2. The righteous man walks in integrity, his children are blessed after him. It's interesting, being talking on Father's Day, and before I start, those of you who don't know me, my name is Duncan. My role is I'm a psychotherapist. I work with trauma and complex trauma. So I am fully aware that for some of you this morning, the word father is not necessarily associated with a good word. And I just want to recognise that. But I still hope that what I'm going to say today could be relevant to you. It's sometimes that if I'm if you we sometimes use the word spirit, let's use the word spiritual father as well. So just in case, so the people who haven't got their own children don't feel left out, right? But I want to say that's further from the truth, because and I hope today that will be the case. But it is interesting, because I think sometimes Father's Day is like a non-competitive sports day, right? You get a prize just for turning up. Not necessarily on merit. And I sometimes wonder when I open my Father's Day cards later, if one says, to the best dad in the world, that Jackie is sitting there thinking, that's a bit of an exaggeration, isn't it? And, you know, he's pretty good, but I don't think he'd get out the group stages, to be honest. But because none of us are perfect fathers. And when I went into, when I looked, I thought, I know, I'm speaking on Father's Day. I know what I'll do. I'll go onto Bible Gateway and type in Father's Day, right? Nothing. But of course it isn't, because it's not a religious festival. But it's just something that we brought kind of from a secular way. But I want to tell you this. My daughter is a good little footballer. And at the end of one of her matches, or the end of every match, there's three awards. There's the parents' player, the coach's player, and standout player. And you don't get that for just turning up. You get it because of the difference that you've made on the pitch. You don't have to be the most skilled. You don't have to be the best player. It's the effort that you put in and the mark that you made on the field and the fact you made a difference to the team. But what makes a good father? What makes a good father? And what I want to do is, I think some of the boys and girls have been prepped for this. Just shout out, what makes a good father? And, you know, adults, you can do the same. What makes a good father?
Being there.
Being there. Yeah. Boys and girls, you got anything? What makes a good father? Or a good dad? Gosh, we're struggling this morning, aren't we? You're leaving me hanging here. And just shout out.
Looking after your child.
That was Ben's son. Nice one. Looking after your child. Anything else? What's that? Support. Patience. Yeah. What's that?
Faithful.
Loves them.
Teaches
them. Consistent. Oh, there's too many. One go. Sound advice, indeed. What?
Sacrifice.
Yes, and sound advice. You know, and sound advice. And so, listening. Yeah, good listener. That's it. There we go. I've only got 10 minutes, so we better stop there. But you know what, when I think about myself as a father and the burden that I sometimes feel, not that my family are a burden, but the burden that I carry, because I want to carry that, because I want to lessen the burden that my wife and my daughters have to carry. I want to carry a load so they don't have to. The second part of that as well is that if they're in pain, whether that's emotional or physical pain, I'd gladly take that from them. and carry it myself, if I could. And I also think about the fact that, have I done enough as a role model? Have I done enough to telling about their faith, that they form their own relationship with God? But not just that, that when they go out into the world, that they stand firm. Have I done enough? And I sometimes think to myself, you know, that the world's a difficult place out there, and I want to be there for them, to give them advice and to guide them. But I'm not always going to be there. So what's going to happen when I'm not there? And then I thought, that must have been exactly how Jesus felt when he knew he was leaving. That must have been how Jesus felt. Because he had this love, because he was their spiritual father. Jesus, they'd been there with these 12 guys that Jesus had taken on as their spiritual father, who he was then entrusting the whole Christian faith to these 11 guys who then became the spiritual fathers of the early church. And they then discipled spiritual children, if you like. And then this happened over generations to generation to generation. And if it hadn't been for spiritual fathers, we would not be sitting here now. This place would be empty. And the question really comes down to what is a spiritual father? Because a spiritual father is a man under the lordship of Jesus. A spiritual father is a man under the lordship of Jesus. And what does that mean? It means this. Surrendering the control of your life to him. It is an acknowledgement of his supreme authority as God, meaning you willingly relinquish your own self-rule and align your decisions, values, and actions with his teaching. Why? Because we love him and he loves us. And in John 14:15 it says, if you love me, you will obey my command. And as I said, the church was built upon, okay, Jesus, but also the spiritual fathers that were passing on from generation to generation. But the reality as a father is I'm not meant to be a spiritual father on my own. As a man, I'm never meant to do this walk alone. And I believe that the only way I can become an effective man under the lordship of Jesus and a spiritual father is because of other men. Because the things that I do well, things that I don't do so well. But men are not meant to do this alone. Because the enemy wants to isolate men. Because an isolated man is more vulnerable to sin, and they're more vulnerable to complacency, they're more vulnerable to self-doubt, they're more vulnerable to be discouraged. But what Jesus wants to do is unite men. He wants to unite men because he knows when men are united, they can achieve phenomenal things. We are here today because of 11 men that Jesus saw potential in. 11 of them. And these 11, with these 11, they didn't always get on. That there was power plays among them. But Jesus saw something in them, and as their spiritual fathers entrusted them with the work of the gospel. Harry Kane. You know who Harry Kane is? Anybody not know who Harry Kane is? Yeah, he's the England striker. Now, Harry Kane, imagine this. England have got a corner, and Harry Kane's in the box. And the enemy are surrounding Harry Kane. They're surrounding him because they want to stop him from scoring. They cajole him. They hassle him. They discourage him. They're looking to put him off his game. Why? Because he's a threat. But there's somebody else there as well. There's the rest of his team. The team are cajoling, they're protecting him, they're moving themselves in position, they're helping Harry achieve what he's meant to achieve, which is getting that ball in the net. And when the ball goes in, is it just Harry that cheers? No, it's the whole nation, it's the whole team. They come running off the bench and they're all hugging each other. But Harry could not have done that on his own. Imagine him standing in the box, just him, as the ball came in. He'd be swamped and eventually be discouraged. He was never meant to do it alone, because his success is, because the rest of his team, his success is their success and their success is his success. Now think about it the other way round. The ball's down the other end. England are up 1-0. It's probably the last corner of the game, and the England are in their box. And Harry Kane's the striker, so the defensive line are there. Does Harry stay up the end? This star striker, the glory boy? No, he comes back and he defends with the rest of his team. He's no longer the star. He's somebody else as part of that team defending the goal against the enemy. And that's why it's so important that us men, that we are meant to be united and looking after each other. Now, because their success is his success, and his success is their success. Now, people use the term manning up. You've got to man up. Christian men have got to man up. No, they haven't. We've got to men up. We've got to men up. That the men come together, because that's when we become most effective. And I'm going to tell you this. If you think you can become a man under the lordship of Jesus and become an effective spiritual father without other men, you're deluded. You're deluded. And actually often the proof is in the pudding. Have I moved any further forward this year than I did last year? And do I have men around me to encourage me? I've had Ricky, Dave, Felipe. They've all been there at different points in order to be an encouragement. Hannah, my daughter, she's a good little football player. And at the end of every game, there's three awards. There's the parents player, coaches player, and standout player. But you don't get it for being the best on the pitch. You don't get it for being the most skillful. It's the effort you've put in and the difference that you've made to your team. And spiritual fathers, if you come under the lordship of Jesus, you'll make a difference in the team that is your family, and you'll make a difference in the team in your church community. And then, just to finish, a man under the lordship of Jesus, a man who is a spiritual father, he is a righteous man who walks in integrity, and his children and spiritual children are blessed after him. Thank you.
Thank you, Duncan. That was excellent. That was really good. Shall we pray? It'd be good to pray on the back of that. It'd be good to pray together. Father, we do thank you for your message today, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us, Lord. We do thank you that you encourage us. We thank you, Lord, also that you give us each other. And Father, we're aware that you want us to be united. We're aware, Lord, that you want us to support one another, to encourage one another. And Lord, my prayer today is for any in this room or any listening online that feel isolated as a man of God wanting to follow you in the calling that you have for them. Lord, we do thank you that you give us each other. Father, we do thank you that over the years, by your Holy Spirit, you give us good connections with different people. Lord, thank you that for many of us who are listening to this can think of names and see faces of people that have been such an encouragement, such a support for us over the years. And Father, we pray that over this next year, that for many, there'll be just some stronger connections and support as you lead us on, as you develop us. And Lord, we pray that for men, we pray that for women as well. Lord, we pray for the ladies' morning coming up next Saturday. Lord, you don't want us to do this alone. Thank you, Lord, that you help us to be part of a team. And Father, I pray that for everybody here that are connected to this church or another church, Father, we do pray for greater friendships, relationships, support, growth, Lord, and freedom in you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.